Pickaxe.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello there and welcome to Zero Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we try and solve your complications. My name is Lydia and I'm joined by my good friends Harry and Ravs. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. I have a little bit of a throaty thing right now.
It's Barry, Barry White.
I'm Barry White. Barry White, Ravs has returned. Yeah.
Are you alright, Ravs? You're not dying on us?
I'm not dying. I don't have COVID or anything, but I... Like, you probably heard it during Jingle Jam. My voice for like a week now has been like grumbly. I don't know.
Now's the time to write your what's that dating app where you can write voice messages on it?
Hinge. Unless you do that.
Yeah, now's the time to write your audio message.
What?
Like hello, ladies. Yeah. So on your profile on Hinge, you can like do little voice notes, can't you? Like people will do like.
Wait, how long can they be?
I think like, I don't know, maybe a minute or something, maybe.
I've seen some really funny ones like on TikTok of people just like trolling people and doing dumb stuff. But you could do like a, hello ladies, it's me, Rev. You know, I don't know, something very sexy like that. Could you do it now? Can you?
Oh God.
Here we go.
Hello ladies, it's me, Ravs, and I am doing a dating.
I'd like you to do a pegging.
Pants dropped.
Pants up.
I'm finally back doing the swiping now. I took a big break after that date. I just haven't been into it, but I'm finally ready again.
He's back.
I'm back.
How's it feeling being back
Return
on the source?
Of the King.
Was it good?
It's been interesting. It's been an interesting one. I've not had any dates yet because Jingle Jam is like way too busy of a time, but... You know, it's nice to just feel ready to be back there. Lydia told me to add pegging to my profile, so I have added that now.
Fuck yes.
You have?
Fuck yes.
Have you had any responses to that? Any?
Actually, one, yes, but it was, haha, you're so jokes, wanna be my friend.
Wow.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Wow. Wait, sorry.
I think in there.
No, what? Not in there. They just fucking friend zoned you because you wanted to be pegged. That's fucked up.
Well, I guess they think you're joking, right? They think it's a joke. That's why you got to hit them with the, no, I'm being serious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then they'll just be like, okay, all right, bye.
No,
like,
fuck them. Well, don't fuck them, actually. No, don't do that, sorry.
They were hot, weren't they? They were hot.
Yeah, they're pretty hot.
Really?
So much so that I'm like,
Or you're like, I'll give up on my pegging dream for them.
No. Just like, is this a real person or like, what the fuck? Why is this person talking to me? Like,
how frequent do you think catfishes are on Hinge? Because I remember my experience on Tinder was like, it felt like catfishes were everywhere.
I got catfished once on Tinder and it was not great. Pretty bad. But I don't know, probably quite often.
What happened, Ravs?
Oh, I just met up with this girl. I've maybe told the story again. She just like reeked of BO and didn't look like her profile picture.
Right. Okay. I thought you meant like catfish, like it was like, you know, someone just, because I know a prevalent thing right now is people scam people on dating apps and websites. So they'll have
no,
like,
I like that. App sites.
Websites.
We just fucking say both at once.
Websites. They'll,
There's rife with them. I actually got one scammer this morning.
Oh, yeah. So I was reading about it on Reddit. They'll have like a fake account, right? And then they'll get to the point where you'll start sending sexy messages And then their dad or someone will message you being like, my child is underage or something like that, and you've got to pay money. Basically, it's like a big scam. So that's apparently like a thing that happens a lot now on social.
That's fucked up.
That's horrible and terrifying, and people are fucking evil. But yeah, so yours was a case of them using like what, really old pictures or something like that, or just not even pictures,
I mean,
of them.
I think, or just like maybe very favorable angles or right. old pictures or something. But I met with them. Yeah, but yeah.
I don't understand why people think that that's going to like work out. Do you know what I mean? It's yeah. such like short-sighted, like,
yeah.
Like it's just, it's short not going to work. Joy. Like eventually you're going to have to like meet in person and then
yeah.
like, yeah. Oh, God, just like, it's such like a, such like almost a self-harming action. Just like, why are you doing this? Don't do this. No.
Such a short return of joy. The long-term is not,
I don't know. I find it kind of weird. Like I took a break. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But now I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe in the new year, you know, put myself back out there. But like, it's just dating apps kind of suck, man. They kind of do. Like, what have I got to fucking sit and like make a million responses to all these people's profiles, and then like, you know, they'll never fucking see it because there's 9 bajillion fucking people on dating apps.
I feel like the best way is just speed run to meeting in person, right?
Yeah,
like less you can.
That's generally my strat.
Less time you can fucking spend doing whatever the fuck yeah. weird courting there is on whatever mm-hmm. app you're on, just the better. Because
yeah, exactly.
Definitely, and also from personal experience, just because this was a long time ago when I used to use them, but when just because you get on with someone over messages, written messages, doesn't translate to getting on in real life. I would have it I would chat to someone, the conversation would be kind of stale, and then we'd meet up in real life and it would be like, bam, you know, sparks are flying, this is great. And the opposite, where we talk loads over messaging and then we meet up and be like, oh, this is actually really awkward. So yeah, it's not, I think it's the main important thing is just meeting them, because you just can't know how well you get on with someone until you meet them in person. Well, they're saying that, like, the fucking nightmare struggle of like, okay, I've met them, we clearly aren't clicking, and now I've like, you know, my whole evening is now devoted to spending with this person I don't want to spend it with. So you've got to have like a get out of jail card kind of thing, right?
Yeah, right. But fucking dating, eh?
Hey,
bleh.
Bleh. Bleh. Well, keep us updated in the new year. But on a more positive note,
Jingle
positive
Jam.
Note, Jingle Jam's just happened. Two weeks where lots of money was raised. Lots of fun things happened. What was your guys' highlights?
God. Man, I think the 15th, it being over, I think was a real...
Yeah. Oh, Harry's a broken man.
No, I'm just getting so many Jingle Jam messages while we're recording this. Sorry, I'm so
I think so many of us, like especially people like Harry and Sarah and people that have to do like social work and making assets and all that.
Oh
like,
my God, yeah.
But even some creators, like I think on the 15th, I felt like, you know, the end of that fucking Avengers movie with Iron Man, you know, you can rest now. I was like, I felt like shit. I was just like, oh my God, thank God. Thank God it's done.
Just, yeah, knackered.
Tiring.
It's been a great year though. I mean, I hope everyone who's listening has gone and watched it and checked it out. I feel like there's been some really like standout streams. The Want to Be a Millionaire stream was hilarious.
I loved that.
I was gutted to have missed that one. That was the first day where my voice started doing this and I was like, well, I know Simon's got like a babby. So I was like, I don't want to go in and like make him ill or whatever.
That was probably my highlight, because that was either going to be my low light or my highlight, right? Because you either go out on the £100 question and you're like, fuck my life, everyone now thinks I'm an idiot, or you do good and you're and you, you know, you ride that high until the day you die. And I will ride that high. Thing is, right, it's all, if I could have gone out on fucking Humes's £100 question, did you see his £100 question? That would have confused me.
I can't remember, what was it?
It was like, what is 100 in Roman numerals?
For a, M, an, M.
No, it's C.
Oh, is it centi? Yeah, C. Yeah. C. M is 1,000. M is 1,000. If I'd seen them, like, I only watched bits of that stream. I need to go watch all of them. So what I do is usually when I go and watch all the Jingle Jam streams, I want to when I get home.
That's
I'm like out of Jingle Jam then, and I like can like enjoy it from like a spectator's perspective and not like an inside perspective. But yeah, I feel like I would have got that one if I like had the letters in front of me.
I don't think I would have. I genuinely would have.
It's like centi is 100, m is a milli is 1,000.
Well, I see. I know that now, but at the time, I think I would have been really like confused by it.
I would say I don't think that's a £100 question. I think that's like a 1.2k or whatever it is. It's like a three or four, I think.
£100 questions are usually, they make you laugh because they are so easy. They're so dumb.
What colour is a bee? Black and yellow, you know?
Pink and blue. Like obvious, like you learn at bloody primary school kind of stuff. So if I'd been on Mark Humes's bloody chair, I would have had a bloody nightmare of a time.
But he didn't know that though.
No, he did know it, but he had to use the lifeline. I would have had to use the lifeline.
Sorry. Knowing it and having to use a lifeline is two different things. Like you either know it or you have to use a lifeline. Like you can't like have both.
I think he like had an inkling and he used a 50-50 to help him narrow it down.
I didn't actually watch that stream myself, but didn't Xylas do the most Chad thing ever where he used every lifeline on one question then purposefully answered it wrong?
No. So he used every lifeline, then he answered it right, and then he took the £100 and left.
That is arrive, use every lifeline, leave,
it's
Chad.
Incredible. And his question was like, how old is Lewis Brindley?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So fucking funny. Nailed it.
That's your highlight then, doing that?
Because I fucking love trivia. I love game shows. And the way the production was set up, I really, really enjoyed myself doing that. That was great. What about you guys?
What was your goal like?
Any time spent with you, mate.
So true, bestie.
Oh, actually, another high point was beating you at Mario Kart. And I just have endless
fuck
high
you.
Points.
You did really well up. In that stream, didn't you? I was peeping that while I was doing something. You were crushing it.
Thank you.
But the thing is, it's also playing item mode Mario Kart. It made me realize, I haven't watched like item mode Mario Kart just like 3 hours of it for a long time. But it is fucking bullshit.
It's so hard.
I think my brain just imagines Mario Kart now as speedrun Mario Kart, which is not how most people imagine it. But
yeah, same it's actually.
Like,
yeah.
It's just completely different game with items.
The amount of times that I was just first in that and then I would lose because I got like double red shield or blue shield. Like I was just like drifting so well, but I just kept getting fucking itemed.
I think the problem with the items is that because we're so used to speed running without, I don't know about you, but I was automatically racing like I was speed running. And you can't do that with items. You have to focus much more on like defense and those kind of strats rather than like good lines and getting coins and stuff like that. So it took me a while for my brain to shift into like, no, wait, I'm not speed running here. I'm trying to like make sure I don't get pulverized by a million red shells.
The thing is, I think it's like the addition of the items is just an addition of like randomness, right? And so I think surely whoever actually wins it is, and this is not to fucking ego rub Lydia, but it's a better show of who's just consistently good at Mario Kart because the randomness should apply randomly to everyone eventually across the entire board, right?
And so, yeah, I agree, Harry.
And
I
so
agree.
Actually,
yeah.
Like the speedrun means,
speedrun
means you can perform in a moment, which is very good. But be able to win, I mean, 3 hours is enough like data that I think you can say you are the best all-round Mario Kart player. Oh. Sorry,
Ross. The bullshit.
If it doesn't matter at Jingle Jam, then when does it ever matter? I feel like it has to matter at Jingle Jam. I mean, Jingle Jam has to prove something, right? We've got to move it on to next year. So next year, you got to beat her, Ravs. Come on.
Yes, but 2 years in a row now, Ravs, you've lost to me. I mean, come on, lads.
I mean, fucking hell, that is consistency.
It's consistency.
Someone stop this
woman. Stop making me mad. I will leave the podcast. We'll play Mario Kart right now.
Who's winning the current DLC race? Or is it neither of you?
Xylas.
Xylas is in the lead.
Lydia's been practicing.
I've been practicing.
But fucking hell, on the last day after Honey Heist, Lydia was just sat there railing me up, winding me up like a damn fucking toy. Just like saying like, you're the worst at Mario Kart. You're so shit. You need to practice. Like just saying all the shit that rails me up.
The other thing is right, Harry. So Ravs says to me whenever I say like, oh, I've been practicing, he's always like, I said this to you at the time, didn't I? No, wait, I can't remember now. Yeah. About how, for listeners out there, Ravs always says like, oh, you're such a sweat for practicing. And it's like, this is speed running.
We want to be good.
We want to be good at it. People want to watch us be good. If you don't want to practice and be shit, like, okay, but I don't understand why being good and practicing is a bad thing.
The only time I play Mario Kart is on stream.
You've got to put the hours in, lad. You've got to put the hours in. We have to hungry. We devour that Mario Kart.
It's about drive. It's about power.
It's about hungry. We devour. I'm racing tonight. And it's going to be a big one.
Should we do a big Yogs, like, all courses race in the year?
Oh, hell yeah.
It's a marathon, isn't it? It's like 4 or 5 hours, isn't it?
Yeah. We're settling the 48 first, and then we're going to do the 96.
100%. That
sounds good.
You can get steering wheels, which are like Nintendo actual Mario Kart steering wheels. Ones. Not the Wii ones, like actual proper pedals and
If they're anything like the farm sim wheel I had to use this year on Jingle Jam, I am going to have a miserable time.
I really want to try it though. I mean, it's going to be a fucking nightmare, but I want to give it a go. I think it'd be good fun.
It's going to be like playing with tilt controls times 1,000.
Can
you imagine
awful.
Drifting, but you're in charge of how much you turn the damn wheel? Oh my God. So you're a lot of flying off the edge, I think.
Are they going to bring out a new Mario Kart soon? I swear this Mario Kart's pretty fucking old.
There is a rumour that this upcoming new Mario Kart is going to be the most expensive game Nintendo's ever worked on.
Oh, no, no.
Will it be for a new console?
That's not a good rumour.
It's most likely going to be for a new console, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be Switch, because Switch has been around now for...
Switch is old.
7 years now?
Seven, eight.
Man, I still haven't even plugged my Switch back in since getting it back from Jingle Jam. It's just sat on the desk next to me. I was like,
I was practicing last night. I was practicing.
Of course you were. Look at this fucking woman.
I
just sat in your fucking bed, surrounded by 8 cats.
I'm committed.
Piss in bed.
Rouse. This is a little bottles of Vimto.
Moldy bottles of Vimto.
Oh,
eating
yeah.
Fucking hungover KFC.
Oh my God.
No, she's eating
yeah.
beans. Don't fucking dream yeah. about the KFC. Fucking hell.
I got yeah. beans from KFC the other day as well.
She dips a drumstick in there and fucking eats beanie chicken.
They're good beans.
I don't understand. Are you trying to insult me? Because you're just making me feel prouder. With every word you say, I feel more proud of my lifestyle.
Fucking matted bean juice in your hair.
Yes!
anyway. Yeah, low points for me. Losing instantly in poker was very funny.
Oh my God!
Oh, come on, Raj.
That's another one of my high points.
I beat you on the speedrun of that.
You
two
beat
hands.
Me in the speedrun as well.
Yeah, you two did. Hands
Yeah, go on, man.
But yeah, Raz was desperately wanting to win, though, Harry.
I
That's
really
the difference.
Wanted my 3 in a row, Harry. I really wanted it.
Everyone was vying for you to not win, Raz. I'm not going to lie to you. We were
I know.
But that
I know
like
everyone was against me, but
stubborn.
that makes me want it more.
Oh, that
well,
was beautiful.
I'm glad you didn't win. I'm glad Toasty won. I'm glad we had a lovely
yes.
lady
yeah,
win.
I'm very, yes. very glad Toasty won.
Odds, if a lady hadn't won, the odds were like,
oh my God,
was it
yeah.
four ladies on the final table with two men?
4v2,
like, come
yeah.
on. Like, if the lady doesn't win it now, fuck my life.
We fucking smashed it this year.
Yeah.
High point, though, like, everyone being down is always great.
Yeah.
Doing sweaty shooters again after Lewis wouldn't let us do it last year was very nice. Not drinking that disgusting hot dog water, though, that was horrible.
Ooh. Oh, yeah,
was
I know a high
nasty.
Point. Seeing Boof in person again.
Oh my God, yeah, having Boof down in person.
Almost 4 years. So seeing her was
right?
a massive
fucking
high
hell.
Point. It was absolutely yeah. lovely. And she came and met Columbo and you know, I had the girls around and it was really nice. That was a really high point for me as well.
It's nice. I feel like we had lots of people down and for lots of time. Mm-hmm. I feel like
it was great.
More than usual. Mm. Which is great. I don't feel like we had like a mega sickness sweep the office, which was also nice.
Yeah,
was,
I don't think we did. There was a scary moment. I think a few people got ill.
Yeah,
and I mean, I've certainly got some sort of thing going on, but like...
It's also just winter.
Yeah.
Like,
it's probably just like a winter cold / flu type thing. But no like mega yog plagues, no mega COVID outbreaks. Like it was good.
Sick. Yeah, we surprisingly got away with it. I mean, obviously some people did get sick, which sucks, but yeah, it wasn't nearly as catastrophic as it has been in the past where literally the whole fucking office is
the whole fucking
out.
Office is like puking
so
and
Ill.
Having to go to the hospital and
exactly,
feels terrible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another high point, actually. You know what? I really enjoyed Karaoke Night because it was really reminiscent of the old karaoke nights where we're all drinking, we're all in good spirits. Like, it was just, I don't know, it took me back because obviously we had to stop doing those because of DMCA and everything. So it really took me back to that vibe. It was, yeah, really good fun.
I thought it was a really funny night.
Yeah. It was really funny. I wish I was a bit more extroverted that day. I think like my social battery had kind of run out a little bit, like because it was kind of later than we would usually do karaoke. Like usually I like to do like a million songs. It's like one of my favorite streams, karaoke. But this year I felt like really weirdly introverted on that night.
It happens, doesn't it? Yeah. I was like that on poker night. I was felt really like introverted that night.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's a lot, right? Like we said, there was a lot of people down for a lot of time and you're doing so many streams. Christmas is coming up. You're out a bunch. Like, just, it's exhausting.
Yeah, it's definitely socially very draining. Like, in the best way, in the but most like grateful, very happy that it happens kind of way. But yeah, you do feel a bit kind of like, you know, just a bit that kind of tired. It's a different kind of tired, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's been great.
It's been amazing. Honestly, Harry, probably my favourite Jingle Jam ever.
Yeah, I think it was the most consistent. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like it was just solid. I'm happy with it.
What was your high beyond it ending on the 15th, Harry?
Raising £1 million. That's always the biggest moment of the year for me. It's the year I'm like, we've done it. You know, it's wonderful to raise anything over £1 million, but £1 million for me is the number that I like us to hit, because it's a lot of fucking money.
That was during the bingo stream.
It was.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, Ghost Cars communities and online communities are always so fucking generous, but £1 million is a lot of money.
Absolutely.
So it feels really nice to hit that so quickly. I mean, it was in less than 24 hours again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Which is fucking dope.
It always blows my fucking mind, like when we finish up and just seeing the total of what we've raised every year. It's just like an unbelievable amount of money.
Yeah. And it's all going to charities that, like, having spent the last 6 months talking to them all, they all dearly fucking need it. You know, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a time where fundraising for charities is very hard. That cost of living squeeze hits everywhere.
Yeah. So,
If you donate to Jingle Jam, be proud that your money is going to make a big difference to charities that really need it and people that they work with that really, really need it. So I think it's awesome. I mean, it's strange, but once we hit £1 million, I'm just like, okay. It's kind of done. In my brain, the difference between like 100,000 and £1 million is enormous. And the difference between £1 million and £2 million is like not as enormous, which I know is not how that works. But the feeling of hitting £1 million from not having £1 million is so massive to me.
You
want to hit that big milestone and then you can kind of relax a bit.
What did we finish on? 2.7 million, right?
2.7 or something crazy? Like $3.5 million. It's a lot of money.
Huge amount of money, yeah.
Which is super, super amazing. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. Man.
Yeah, thank you everyone who donated and watched some Jingle Jam.
The charity people are so fucking lovely as well.
Yeah.
Like, I've had the absolute honour of being able to go out and visit some of them this year. And like, you know, I've become like, you know, good friends with Charlie from WDC, which has been like weirdly wholesome.
That's lovely.
That's cute.
He sent me his book because he is like a field agent for them. He takes tons of photos. It's like an award-winning book. He checks up on me on Twitter. I respond to it. It's cute. I love it. I'm gonna have to send him a little Christmas present.
Very sweet.
Yeah, they're all such lovely people, and they're all so.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated, and put you on the path of happiness. All through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Such great causes, and like, it's just so nice to be able to, you know, help them in any way. And like you said, during the cost of living shit, like, what an exceptionally hard time to fundraise and stuff. So. Yeah, well done, everyone you know, fundraised.
Yeah, and if you've missed any of it, be sure to go and watch the VODs. It's certainly worth diving into a lot of those streams. And I think also it's worth saying a lot of us won't be making as much content during Christmas time. So there's always that back catalogue of Jingle Jam stuff that you missed. So go and check that out.
Exactly. Like I've forgotten like 0 degrees for a minute. I was like, what have we missed many episodes? I don't even fucking know. It was such a busy time.
Time also just goes so weirdly during Jingle Jam. It feels like it's like a fucking month, but it's just 2 weeks. Right? And it's so strange.
It was like day four, and I was like, it's been 47 days.
Yeah, it felt like we were like midway through the second week, and it was like the third day or whatever. It's like, how is time? Yeah. How is time moving like this? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Strange.
But yeah, on a 0 degrees note, should we do some questions?
Yeah, let's do some questions. Yes. From our lovely listeners. Let's
peepers for some Christmas questions, right? Because this is going to come out tomorrow. And, you know, that's nearly Christmas. It's nearly Christmas.
It's a week.
I now have to buy some things for people.
1 week to go till Christmas.
Mm-hmm. You guys going home for it?
Driving home for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going back home.
Going home, noise.
I'm going to someone's home, but it's not my home. It's
okay. Well, I hope you've agreed and allowed that to happen. Yeah,
it's all very consensual.
I mean, it's a podcast with you, but blink 7 times if you need help.
I'm blinking. I'm fucking blinking, Harry.
I can't see the blinking.
And you go back to Scotland, Ravs.
Yeah, I'm going back to Scotland on Thursday. I'm very excited. I can see my doggy and all my friendies, and that'll be good.
Nice. Very fucking nice.
Lovely. Well, from that wholesome feeling to what is probably going to be a fucking horrible question. Let's do that.
Let's go.
My dad shattered my presents for Christmas. What do I do? 0 degrees. Help.
Like, fuck the turkey. What do I do?
I've got some leather on my dick.
Yeah, the turkey's about to go out, but I couldn't help myself. What? Help. I thought that's what stuffing was.
Oh, I was the stuffing.
Dearest 0 degrees, a quick and possibly timely question. Is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? My wife and I have discussed and agree that it is a Halloween-themed Christmas movie, but we want to know what your opinions on this very important subject are. Cheers from New Jersey.
Quick note, I love that it's a quick and possibly timely question. We found this from 2022, this question. So it is timely, it's
Forgot to be like, yo, send in your Christmas questions.
It's a year late.
But still timely, because The Night Before Christmas is a timeless classic. It will never not be important. It's actually, it's up there with my favorite Christmas movie. So I think I can answer that pretty confidently.
I don't know if I've ever actually fucking watched it.
I'm going to be honest. I don't think I ever have either.
I'm trying to remember. I think I watched, there's a movie that's very similar. Wait, or was it maybe in the same series? Corpse Bride.
So that's the sort of...
Is it the same person that made it?
Is it Tim Burton?
Yeah, Tim Burton.
They're both Tim Burton, right?
Tim Burton, I'm pretty sure, did Nightmare Before Christmas. Or did he both? Okay, yeah. So it's like the same vein.
I was looking at this and I was like, is this... I've watched this, but I was like, I haven't watched this. Maybe I need to go watch this.
I'm in a weird state between both where I feel like I've watched this, but I'm not sure if I've watched this. It exists as one of those movies that, like, if anyone ever asked me if I've watched it, I would just say, oh, yeah, you know?
Yeah. Remind us of the plot. What happens?
So Jack Skellington lives in Halloween Town, where basically their whole existence is putting on amazing Halloweens every year. Lovely. But then one day he stumbles into the forest and comes across Christmas Town. And then from then onwards, he's like, oh my God, Christmas, this is amazing. Halloween friends, we've got to do Christmas. Trust me, this is going to be great. And basically what happens when scary Halloween ghouls try and do Christmas, there's Santa Claus, he gets kidnapped, shit just goes insane. It's so good. It's such, like, the animations, I love that style. It's like,
yeah,
it's like
the
kind of
stop, great.
It's that, is it stop, not stop,
stop motion?
Yeah, that stop style motion. Is so good. The songs are great. The characters, like, my God, like, I remember, I lived in the time of when, you know, Camden Market, where it probably still is, to be fair, was just Nightmare Before Christmas tat, and I had, like, the Nightmare Before Christmas bag and all that shit that I wore to school. But I genuinely, like, not even just, like, childhood nostalgia, it is a really good movie.
I mean, like, the fact that Ravs and I both feel like we've watched it but haven't is, like, I think probably testament to how big a movie that is, right? It's one of those where, like, Fuck, I feel like I've seen the images of it so much. I feel like I've watched it, but I certainly haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
is that
I would,
is that your top Christmas movie, Lydia?
No, I would say Muppets Christmas Carol is first. Then Night Before Christmas. But also, I love Die Hard. So those three are all sort of very close to the top. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It is a Christmas movie.
Fuck Die Hard. I got no time for Die Hard.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I got no time. I don't care.
What is wrong with you? Die Hard is a fucking classic.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but I'm not going to rewatch that
shit. I'm not wasting my fucking Christmas day watching that shit.
Alan Rickman, Hans Gruber. Oh my God.
Don't make this about Alan Rickman. Don't you dare.
You're insulting his legacy.
He's a beautiful man. Beautiful man.
How dare you?
There's absolutely no way I'm wasting my Christmas day. Yeah, that is
wasting
hours of your Christmas that you're never getting back.
Hours of my day to watch a movie I've seen already.
Oh my God. Okay, I know that everyone in the comments has got to be on my side. Come on.
Because they're insane. This is
one of those insanely divisive questions.
Yeah,
whether Die Hard's a good movie or not.
Whether you should watch it at Christmas. Like, I just think it's a fucking, like, the last thing I want to do, there's already so many traditions at Christmas, but we're doing so many things that we do every year. The last thing I want to do is commit fucking an hour and 80 minutes or whatever to fucking watching Die Hard again.
but that's a nightmare. Those are what Christmas movies are, though. You watch them over, well, I don't watch them every year, but you watch them, you know, again and again. Like, Christmas is the season for repetition.
I'd rather just watch something else more cozy or fun.
Yeah.
I prefer hostages being taken and people being murdered, all right? Okay? And that guy who does loads of cocaine.
That's fair, Lydia.
I think Mario Kart's broken your brain, mate.
Yeah.
It's all juiced, a little bit.
It's all juicy in there. It's all fucked. But yeah.
What's your top Christmas movie then, Rouse?
Mine's isn't like, it's a good movie, but it's not like a particularly amazing movie. It's because it's my mum's favourite movie that is my favourite Christmas movie. It's Elf.
Oh, mate.
My mum fucking loves Elf.
Join me in the Elf corner. Let's go.
Yeah, my mum fucking loves Elf, and it's so cute. She gets so excited about it that I'm just like, you know what? That's so wholesome that I already like Elf. I extra like Elf now.
Yeah, it's good. It is a good, wholesome, fun movie. Like, it's not offensive.
Silly. You can put it on. It's inoffensive, yeah. You know, it's a really nice movie.
I also feel like there's like, if I have it on in the background, like I would never watch it on Christmas, but on the days before Christmas, days after Christmas, if it's on TV, I'll put it on the background and then like, I'll like look up and I'll catch just bits of it that will make me chuckle, and then that's it. Like,
yeah, exactly. That's my experience with it. Like, that's every Christmas movie to me anyway. It's like I'm at my parents or whatever and it's on and like I'm chatting to them, but every now and then I'll turn over and like, oh, a funny moment has happened.
Yeah, the piano bit or whatever is happening.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, so that's got to be mine, I think. Yours is Elf as well, then?
It'd be Elf or Love, actually. But I feel like I was reading the other...
You want to fight me right now.
You don't like Love Actually.
Audacity to shit on Die Hard, and you just said Love Actually is one of your favorite Christmas movies.
It's fucking Christmassy.
Sorry,
Love Actually is actually Christmassy. It's absolute trash. It's amazing. What the fuck do you want?
I mean,
what do you want from me?
A fight, Harry. I think I made it very clear. I want to fight with you.
What's your problem? Actually, okay. I'm self-admitting that it's trash. I'm not saying it's a fucking like a cerebral rom-com, you know, story. It's just fucking, it's British people popcorn.
I know. Yeah, exactly. It is that kind of like, trash, easy watching kind of thing. But so many storylines in that movie is just like, you want to rip your fucking hair out. It's like, what? Like,
it's
the
hilarious.
Fucking friend just filming the bride the entire time. Oh, I look quite pretty. And then turning up at the door and then her kissing his chin. I'm like, what the fuck is going on, dude?
The whole door bit is hilarious. Like,
yeah, it's so bad. Isn't that the guy from Walking Dead as well? No, is it?
Maybe.
Is it?
I watch Walking Dead. Is it
Rick Grimes? Is that? I might be making that up.
I don't know if it is. That movie's also fucking.
Love Actually. I think it might be. Wait, Google.
Love Actually.
It is. Yeah, it is.
It is him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
To God, me, he looks like such perfect. A different guy without a beard.
Yeah, so young and fresh and ready to steal his best friend's wife.
Knobbly.
Oh, and that's got Alan Rickman as well. Alan Rickman's horrible in that, though.
He's great in that.
Oh, no, but freaking with Emma Thompson when she's crying. Oh, with the necklace. Oh, Alan, why didn't you get the necklace for your wife?
But I love it. I don't know. It's such a fail son moment. It's good.
Yeah. It's all right. I'll let you off. It's all right. It's all right.
It's such like a fucking bukkake of British talent that no matter how trash it really is, just, I feel like.
But then it's like Billy Bob Thornton's the US president. You know what I mean? It's like.
I fucking love Billy Bob Thornton.
I didn't know he was.
It is so all star cast.
Love, actually.
I feel like I saw that it's like heavily problematic a week or two ago. And
I think I saw something like that as well.
It probably fucking is. Like,
I mean, when did it come out?
It's 20 years old this year.
Right. It's 20 years old.
There's certainly some fucked up shit in there then. Like, you're like, oh my, I remember how good this movie was? And you go back and watch it. And like, they're just saying.
It's just Keira Knightley saying the N word over and over again.
The N word. She's like slapping gay people.
Oh my God. Just,
Rowan Atkinson, he's doing a whole bit about being Stephen Hawking and it's not okay. You
know? Like, it just. things don't age super well.
No.
Just for Keira Knightley's lawyers, Keira Knightley doesn't say the N word in Love Actually. In case they come for me.
Nor does she slap gay people.
No. This is a joke. It's a jest. Please. That's my Christmas movie input.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. Well,
I haven't really seen the movie, but I'd probably say it's a Halloween movie with a Christmas theme.
Christmas theme. I would say it's definitely a Christmas movie because once you watch it, the beginning is very Halloween-y, but the core storyline is all about Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's
okay then.
Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Well,
You could watch it at Christmas and feel Halloween-y, but you wouldn't really want to watch it at Halloween and feel Christmassy. Like, that's kind of fucked up ordering. Do you know what I mean?
I give you two a task to go watch it and then let me know. Let the world know what you think.
Yeah, I'm watching this year.
It's very good.
Oh my God, the fucking snowman. Snowman is obviously also a Christmas fucking bang. I watch it every time it's on TV and then I'm just like, well, this movie is so sad. Like,
it's so
why
sad.
Am I watching this shit? It's so fucking sad.
He necked his iron brew.
Did he?
You guys must have...
Sorry,
what is
this fucking Scottish...
Did you get
Scottish
memes? Did you get the snowman iron brew advert?
No.
You guys never got this?
How are you surprised by this?
We're not Scottish chefs.
Like, you watch this right now. It's 1 minute long. This is like ingrained in every Scottish person's brain.
What the fuck?
This comes on every Christmas in Scotland.
Wait, was that the fucking... was that the canal lifting thing? Is that in Scotland? Or was that... I thought that was in Denmark.
I actually don't know.
Canal lift lock.
Where's the fucking iron brew?
I think he's flying over Edinburgh, though.
Look, he's glugging it. I don't remember this.
Wheel. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is in Scotland.
I don't remember this at all.
Where's the... this is... He's just drinking an iron brew and then he's dying. He's fooling.
And he's dying.
Mm-hmm. He's fooling.
Dead. It's so sad.
He's dead.
He fucks off the child and he's just got the iron brew.
What?
Jesus. The child's died.
Yeah, and he stole the iron brew.
Murder.
Scotland.
Scotland
in a minute.
Yeah, that's like, when people mention the snowman, my brain just immediately goes to the iron brew advert. Like, I've seen the snowman, but like, the iron brew thing is just so ingrained
in my head.
It's culturally
permeable.
It's
everywhere. Wow. Well, thank you for ruining the snowman for me. Yeah. That's brilliant.
Thanks. Yeah, you're so welcome.
That's
you're
lovely.
So welcome.
It's great.
Right.
I'm happy for you.
Next question.
Yep. The fuck? Yep. Just going to move on from that.
We're going to move the fuck on. Moving swiftly on. Good day, Zero Degrees. I, a degree holder, am having a tricky decision on what to do this Christmas regarding family. Context. Now, this context is going to be an entire paragraph long. It's not what they've said, but I'm just looking forward. This is a long fucking context. Context. Last year, my partner of 6 years and I moved into our first home together in the summer. I suggested for last year, we spend Christmas Day just the two of us with our pets in our home. We have a nice, cozy, Victorian, semi-detached, so it was pretty, that was really pretty when decorated for Christmas. But I suggested along with that, in the morning, we have her nan and step-granddad round for breakfast as her nan's birthday on Christmas. I thought this was a good compromise as her nan takes priority as it's her birthday, but then we can spend Christmas afternoon and evening doing whatever we want. The previous years had been quite messy trying to organise seeing both families and we didn't end up enjoying the day ourselves driving all over town. But this year, my partner's parents are on holiday over Christmas, whose house the nan and granddad would normally go over for Christmas dinner. We want to offer the nan and granddad round to ours for dinner so they don't have to cook dinner and do all the tidying up.
Pause. Said dinner 9 million times. My brain is all over the place.
Basically, grandparents coming over in the morning. They're going to just chill out of their house in the evening.
Okay.
It all sounds lovely so far.
Got it.
We've also offered for my parents' brother to come, my partner's brother, to come and stay with us over Christmas as he would be home without his parents. My main sticking point is my partner has an uncle who isn't particularly... This is so complicated. My partner has an uncle who isn't my particular cup of tea and has a partner who is even more not particularly part of the family. He hasn't offered to have his mum over for Christmas or planned to do what to do for her birthday. So it kind of irritates me if he was to assume we will sort him out when he's 20 years older than us and can't arrange something himself. I don't want to be back up when people are unavailable, people just fall on us, as not only do we have to consider what we want to do for Christmas at that time of year, but also have my side of the family, which is extremely fractured, to try and factor into the day. We also have a newly adopted dog, which we rescued this year, who we don't want to overwhelm at Christmas, as it's a very busy time of the year. And the uncle is a small yappy dog, which will be running around the house, which my dog would probably find aggravating. Would you suggest standing my ground, or am I being too inflexible? My in-laws joke about me not having a backbone, so this feels unnatural. Sorry for the rant. Context feels important. Situation seems being a loyal soy boy. Fucking hell.
So many, like, my uncle's grandparents, partners, fucking dogs. Nephews, dogs.
So I think he doesn't want the uncle to come over, right? That's the crux.
Yeah. Is the uncle coming over? Is that...
I didn't even sound
happening.
Like the uncle was fucking coming over. I feel like he's got his knickers in a twist over something that's not even happening.
Wait, we've also offered my partner's brother to come and stay with us over Christmas, so he would be at home without his parents. But then it's the uncle. Wait, I need a fucking family tree here.
So they've got it's them, the dog, the brother, and then in the morning the grandparents. But they don't want the uncle to come over.
Right,
he's the only other one in
town.
And
his partner and their dog.
Yeah.
But they are having the grandparents and his brother-in-law essentially around.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
You can't have the whole family without having them.
Yeah.
In my opinion, as much as you know, you might not want to spend.
Yeah,
time
I think
with
they,
some
I think
people.
You. I'm entirely with. I mean, they fucked themselves, didn't they?
You've absolutely fucked yourself.
The thing is, when it comes to Christmas, I think you can't have some of your partner's family around, but they're not. The other people, if they want to come round as well.
You
become the dividing factor, right? You start splitting up these people.
Yeah.
And then people think you're an asshole and they bitch about you or whatever. Like
it sucks. I get it. You want to have that quiet, cute Christmas with your partner, but it's just one of those fucking sod's law, those things that you just have to grin and bear. Like you can't just have some of them round, but not if the others want to come round. Say no to them.
You either have none of them round or all of them round, like, if they're in town.
The only thing you could say is that you don't want their dog coming over because
if you've got a new dog, you could be like, hey, I'm really sorry. Could you maybe get like a dog sitter or something?
Dog sitter,
like,
kennel or whatever. You could put your foot down with that.
Or something and then just go and check on it and walk every so often. Like you can. It's not the worst thing in the world. There's ways around that.
But yeah,
or
I think
separate them into different rooms
or something like that. Yeah, I feel like you could stand your ground on that. That's fair. You could absolutely say, I'm really sorry, but the dog can't come round. But in any other factor of this, I think you just have to fucking grin and bear it. Like part of Christmas, as much as, you know, I'd love to, you know, we'd be able to say like, you know, it's important that you enjoy your Christmas and blah, 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 blah. A big part of Christmas is just kind of like being... just fucking going with the flow to make everything easier, no matter if it's a pain in the ass or not.
Yeah, don't be a resistance point. be an acceptance point. I would say that I feel like this, they kind of set it up at the beginning as we're going to have a romantic, cozy Christmas. And then you just motherfucking start inviting people.
Yeah, like, so it's not.
Which one is it? Like, it sounds more like that's a cheap excuse to not have the people you don't like in the family round. not going to lie.
From what I can tell,
you can't pick and choose.
The nan and step-granddad will be around just for breakfast, it sounds like. But will those
the brother-in-law,
is he there the whole time? Or is he just there for breakfast?
Sounds like it. Wait, what, like brother's there the whole time.
What is like literally just like a sentence? Where is it? One sec.
Also, if my partner's brother to come and stay with us over Christmas. Stay with us over Christmas sounds like a few days. As he'd be like, home without his parents.
I feel like you fucked, like the nan was maybe a passing moment, you could get by on that, but just having the fucking brother hanging out, like that at that point it's like there's a fucking family
yeah, everyone
too, mate.
Can come round, yeah.
I think you fucked yourself.
I think you've just got to fucking invite them. Maybe they won't come round, but you just have to.
I feel like you can make the dog a big sticking point. That's how you give them the excuse to not come round.
Yeah, because they might...
You can never not say it.
Like, yeah. But they might say, oh, I don't want to leave the dog on its own. We'll stay home with it. And then bam, you're easy breezy. That might happen. Yeah. So go with that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the strategy.
Yeah,
for sure.
You just got to.
I guess we haven't, like, we're not at the ages where we started hosting our own Christmases. I still go back to my parents for Christmas. So I guess we haven't, like, directly encountered this.
No, I've never
experienced it through proxy through my parents, but not, like, I haven't been the person who's had to actually manage the fiddliness. I don't know about you guys.
I think Christmas is supposed to be, like, chill and relaxing. I hate the pressure of, like, you have to do this or you have to be there or whatever. Like, you know, this year I've got a new nephew and stuff, so we're not doing like a big massive like family breakfast, and I'm like honestly kind of chill with that. Like I'm like so excited to just on Christmas Day lie in my bed at my parents and get up and just have chill dinner. Like to have all this pressure of like, oh, all the family must be here at the same time. I get it, some people, you know, are into that thing. I love my family, but sometimes I just want to chill, man. Like, I don't know.
I think it also depends on how big your family is, because it can, like, I have a massive extended family. So if, like, all of us turn up at someone's fucking house, like, that person is now cooking for, like, 25, 30 people.
Jesus.
Like, that's a lot to just put on somebody on an already stressful day. I feel like my parents are so happy, though, like, because now that we're, like, me and my brother are away, but we come back, they're just like, brilliant, you know, that Harry and his brother are here, like, there's no, you know, we don't have to leave, we don't have an excuse to not have to, like, go anywhere, we can't, like, leave, they're only here for a few days, we're not going anywhere, we're not seeing anyone, like, for all of you, fuck off, like, they're just like, this is our ticket out of everything.
I hope I am never the host of Christmas, you
know. Do you not want to be a host? But
I don't think so. No, I've never liked hosting people ever. Oh. I hate.
I find it stressful.
I don't know why. I find it stressful.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
Like, I'm a big fan of going to things, but I'm overwhelmed by stress by hosting. So like inviting people, having to cook everything, being worried that the things I have done are being judged, stuff like that. It's like I personally love the idea of that.
I feel like it's a different type of fun. Like going and having a great time at someone's, you know, we went to a wonderful New Year's thing last year, which I hope we'll all be doing again this year.
We're doing again this year. I'm excited.
And like, you know, going and experiencing someone who loves hosting and is enjoying it and it does a really good job is like a wonderful experience. But I usually say like putting on and hosting and making other people happy is like, it's not the same, but it is also another like joy. Bringing joy to other people is like really satisfying.
Yeah, definitely.
And making people have
a
nice evening is really, like, I know the person that hosts us has a really great time doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. There is a certain, like, different kind of joy of, like, hosting a party and everyone having a good time. And
like, it's stressful and it's tiring, but
I think
it does feel great.
It's certainly super rewarding. I just don't think my brain would cope well with all the organization of that type of stuff. But bless the people that do host these things, you know. Like, so, like, what's the example I'm thinking of there? Like, you know, mums and dads that, like, your parents, Harry, must be like, cool, we don't have to travel, we'll host you guys, everyone come home, big Christmas. That sounds like super chill. Everyone wants to be there, exciting. But in the sense of this question askers situation, it sounds like it's kind of been put on them to host it, and there's like too many family members and moving bits. It just sounds all a bit stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like I get how they've got themselves into this situation as well, because they've tried to do a nice thing for the nan and granddad.
Yeah.
But I feel like that in itself has fucked them.
Yeah.
It fucks your dreams of having a quiet personal Christmas. So, I don't know. Good luck. This question might be from last year. I don't know where this question was from.
It's probably been, and God, it's probably years old.
This Christmas has probably happened.
Oh my God. Yeah, was this recent
Wait, let me check.
Check. Because if so, we need an update.
No. It's this year. It's happening.
This is now. Okay.
But they were organizing it in October. So it's late. Okay. We're getting to it very late.
Okay. Let us know. Update us. We're curious.
Update us on your Christmas. We hope it goes well.
We hope it's good.
But I guess to that note, we hope you all have wonderful Christmases or holiday season, whatever you're celebrating, whatever you're doing. We're sorry to a degree was a little bit delayed because of Jingle Jam, but it's how it is. It's busy time.
Now it's Christmas time.
Hopefully,
it's, you know.
Hopefully in the new year, everything's more chill and we can record more in the office and shit. That would be nice.
I think we've talked about it, but we might take a slight break in January so we can get ahead and store up lots of video ones, because we think doing the video ones is really fun.
Yeah,
the video ones are really fun, so it'd be good to like focus on getting some of those backed up and recorded. Yeah.
So if you're missing out on Zero Degrees and you feel like we haven't uploaded in a minute, that'll be why. To go and binge either the Patreon or go and binge some of the back catalogue, but hold.
There's tons of Patreon episodes if you've not been on the Patreon yet.
Yeah, some really funny
for
stuff.
You to, for thank you to binge.
Thank you, Patreons. But yeah.
We love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you, I guess, maybe in the new year.
New year.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
See you guys then.
Have a good Christmas, guys. See you later.
Have a good one. Bye.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.